Good morning. We've come to Genesis chapter 39 for our study tonight. Genesis chapter 39. We'll just read verse number 1 for our text. We're going to preach through this whole chapter tonight, God willing, if we get through it. If not, we'll just drive a stake right there and pick up later, okay? Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now there's a phrase I want to draw your attention to. It's the phrase in the first part of this verse, brought down to Egypt. The phrase brought down to Egypt. I want to preach to you on that subject tonight, brought down to Egypt. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Thank you for another service that we can gather around your word. Thank you for the freedom that we have. And I pray as we open your word tonight that you'll calm our hearts and help us to understand the importance of this time. Speak to us in a very thorough way. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Help me to be clean. May I not hinder you at all. You know my heart, and I pray that I'm clean before you. If I'm not, forgive me, remove it, get it out of my life. Help me to preach this with power, and may you deal with us in a mighty way. Challenge us and help us, I pray, and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. And the last time we saw Joseph, he was being mistreated by his brothers who were eaten up with the evil beast of jealousy and hatred. This was all in chapter number 37. They couldn't stand the thought that they would be under their little brother's authority in any way. They didn't want to think about it in any shape, form, or fashion. And if you remember, these brothers did not care about Joseph. They hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. And as we left Joseph in chapter 37, he had been sold to Midianite merchantmen for 20 pieces of silver. Now chapter 39 opens with Joseph being brought down to Egypt. Now it's important that we see tonight that it was not Joseph's decision to go to Egypt. As far as he knows, he'll never see his family again. Now, we know differently, but as far as he knew at that time, maybe he thought he would never see his brothers and his daddy ever again. At this time, Joseph is a teenager. So specifically for teenagers tonight, but all of God's children can learn from these lessons. We see that he's a teenager who has been mistreated by his own flesh and blood, his brothers. Now, the emphasis that I'm trying to get across tonight through this title of this message. In other words, the main thought that I'm trying to get across, and there's a great thought that comes out of this, we're plowing through this. The emphasis I'm trying to make is how Joseph has been thrown into a situation unjustly. In other words, he didn't choose this for himself. Notice how the Bible says Joseph was brought down to Egypt. It didn't say he went down to Egypt. It says he was brought down to Egypt. In other words, it's not his choice. This is unjust in his life. This seems terrible in his life. And all I'm saying to you is while he's down in Egypt, while he's brought down to Egypt, there are four major events that happened to him in this chapter. And I want to share these four things with you. Brought down to Egypt, number one. First of all, we see Joseph was sold as a slave. When he was brought down to Egypt, he was sold as a slave. We see this in verses 1 through 6. Let's read this again. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass in the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. See, Potiphar was the captain of the guard. He was the big daddy on campus, if you will, is what I'm saying. And we see that Potiphar buys Joseph from the Ishmaelites. Now, Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. Now they're going to come and basically resell him again. He is being sold as a slave now in the country of Egypt. It's interesting that Joseph goes from being a favored son back home to just a common slave in a foreign land. Now, it's interesting to note the first thing mentioned after he was sold. In other words, things aren't looking good for him, but the first thing mentioned after he was sold as a slave is the Lord was with him and that he was a prosperous man. Think about this, a prosperous slave. Think about that thought. That sounds ridiculous. I mean, a slave doesn't belong to himself. A slave basically is poor, but this slave is special. The Bible says he prospered. He's a prosperous slave, and the only reason that could happen is because God was in his life. Potiphar saw how the Lord was with him and made all that he did to prosper. Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight, and because of this, Potiphar promoted him to be the overseer of all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was upon Joseph, my friends. Potiphar left all he had in Joseph's hand to the point that he didn't worry about any of his possessions. I mean, the Bible says in verse 6, he left all he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. That means that Potiphar was just relieved that he had somebody in his house he could trust. This slave, this one who had God in his life. Potiphar trusted Joseph's honesty and Joseph's integrity. Now here's what I want to do, because here's where we need to keep this thought in mind. The Word of God is given for facts, yes, but it's also given as facts to change our life. In other words, how can we apply this to us? How does this apply to me? What can I get from this thought that Joseph was sold as a slave, yet God was with him? Let me say this, when you find yourself mistreated, and when you find yourself abused and used and sold as a slave, there are some lessons to keep in mind. I'm applying this, number one, under this. The Lord is still there. The Lord is still there. I'm glad that in verse number 2, hey, he's away from family, he's away from friends, he's away from brothers, he's away from home, he's away from country. I mean, he's sold, he's been used, he's been abused, he's been mistreated, he's been lied about, all of this, and yet God was still with this young man. And I'm telling you tonight that when you find yourself in a place that you wouldn't choose to be in, when you find yourself in a place when you're mistreated and misused and lied about and abused and downhearted and sold, God is still there with his children, my friends. They may separate us from friends, relatives, and country, but they cannot take from us the presence of the Lord. They may shut us from outward blessings. They may rob us of liberty and confine us in dungeons, but they cannot shut us out from communion with God, from the throne of grace, or take from us the blessings of salvation. F.B. Meyer put it this way, who would not rather choose to be Joseph in Egypt with God than the brothers with a blood-stained garment in their hands and a sense of guilt in their souls? Number one, we learn from this, Joseph was sold as a slave. We're applying it. First of all, the Lord is still there. Number two, the Lord can still bless your life. We see this in verses 2-4, how God blessed Joseph. He blessed him, and he went beyond that and blessed the Egyptians for the sake of Joseph. Now, friends, listen. Joseph was mistreated. He was used. He was abused. He was sold as a slave. He is not in the greatest surroundings on earth at this time. He is in a place of heathenism. He's in a place of idolatry. He's in a place where they're worshiping idols. But the presence of the Lord in his life caused everything that young man did to prosper. He was a prosperous slave One man put it this way, looking at this case through and through, one would say it is hardly correct to assert that Joseph was a prosperous man when he was to all intents and purposes in bondage, when he was the property of another, when not one hour of his time belonged to himself, when he was cut off from his father and from his brethren. Yet it is distinctly stated that notwithstanding these things, the Lord was with him and he was prosperous. See, it's important that we understand that true prosperity is not materialistic. True prosperity has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with materials. True prosperity has to do with the presence of God. Mr. Griffith Thomas put it this way, true prosperity is due to the presence and blessing of God. I'm telling you that when you find yourself in Egypt, not going there, but taken there, brought down there, a place you would never choose to go yourself, God is still with his children. And he can still bless your life in spite of your circumstances. Number three, down there, this is all under point one. I may not get through this message tonight. I'm just applying this thought. Thought number one, he's sold as a slave. Hey, here's thought number three. Be a man or a woman of integrity. When you find yourself used, abused, mistreated, sold in slavery, be honest, upright, and have character for the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was truly a young man of personal integrity. We see this in verses 5 and 6. Potiphar trusted Joseph so much, and he didn't worry about anything he had. Let me tell you why I didn't worry about it. Because he knew Joseph, get it, he was a teenager. But he knew this teenager was honest. And he knew this teenager was trustworthy. Joseph was one that, if you translate it today, if you will, he was one who would give a full day's work for a full day's pay. He's one, my friends, that when he was given a duty to do, even if it was in a place that he would rather not be, don't you think he'd rather be at home with his daddy? Sure. But he's in Potiphar's house. And yet he's doing his duty with all of his might. He's working hard. The point is, when you find yourself brought down to Egypt, it does not give you the right to give less than your best while you're there. John Butler put it this way, if you are a Christian, if God is with you as you claim, it will show up well in the way you do your duties in the common round of life. You show me a lazy Christian, I show you somebody that doesn't have the presence of God in their life. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. We learned this from this first thought. Brought down to Egypt, Joseph was sold as a slave. We learn under that God is still with his children. God can still bless you there. And while you're there in that place you would not choose, that place you don't really like, hey, be a man or woman of integrity. Have character. Do the right thing in spite of the wrong circumstances. Number two tonight, brought down to Egypt, Joseph was not only sold as a slave, but number two, Joseph was solicited to evil. We see this in verses 7 to 12. Let's read this together. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment. She grabbed a hold of him, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, friends, this second major section shows how Joseph was solicited by Potiphar's wife. The Bible says that she cast her eyes upon him. She enticed him. She tempted him to commit sin with her. And let me tell you something. God flooded my soul here with how temptation works and how to defeat it. Let me apply this right here. First of all, let me show you the pathway of temptation. Let me show you how temptation works. We see a clear path that this temptation took. By the way, here's what one man said. If the tempter cannot defile you through despair, he will attempt to defile you through delight. That's a powerful thought, friends. In other words, he couldn't get Joseph to be discouraged. He couldn't get Joseph to live in despair. So now he's going to try to butter him up and make him fall that way. And this is exactly what he's doing. Let me give you the pathway of this temptation. First of all, it came after success. We see this in verse number 7. Notice it. And it came to pass after these things. What things? Verses 1 to 6. What happened in verses 1 to 6? Joseph has God's presence with him. And it's so evident that even Potiphar can see it. Potiphar elevates him to overseer, and he trusts him with everything he has. After these things, she cast her eyes on him. Let me tell you something, friends. Things were going as good as could be expected for Joseph. Now, he's in a strange country, but when you look at his life, it couldn't be any better than it was. He was having some success. He was prosperous. And I'm telling you that it was during this time of success that this wicked woman solicited him. When you're having a time of spiritual success, dash, all caps, watch out. Watch out. You ever find yourself on a spiritual mountaintop, praise God for it, friends. But the devil doesn't like it. And he'll do everything he can to knock you flat on your face. The pathway of this temptation, it came after success. Number two, it was very persistent. We see this in verse 10. Notice the language. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, notice it, day by day. This means that every day she was soliciting him. Every day she kept it up. Every day she tempted him. I found this statement, I put it down here. One drop of water will not wear away a rock, but repeated drops can. Think about that. You take one drop of water and put it on a rock, not going to do anything to that rock. But if you have repeated drops hitting the same place all the time, it'll wear a hole in that rock. That's temptation, friends. It's persistent. It comes after success. It's persistent. Number three, it thrives in secret. It thrives in secret. Look at verse number 11. Came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Let me ask you a question. When did the sin become more aggressive? That's the fourth point. I'll talk about that in a minute. But when did it get more aggressive? In secret. In secret. This verse shows us the temptation became stronger when there was no one else in the house. We need to understand that temptation thrives in secret, friends. It really does. Here's what I'm saying. Protect your secret life. Protect your secret thoughts. Because temptation will bombard your secrecy. You show me somebody who falls in the open, I show you somebody who fell in secret a whole lot sooner before. Trying to give you some pastoral thoughts here, friends. Trying to keep people out of the torture chamber. And I'm telling you that when you're in private, nobody else around, nobody else knows what's going on, nobody else sees you, and you know they probably will never see you. That's when temptation grabs you. Let me give you a fourth thing. I've already said it. It was aggressive. We see this in verse number 12 where it says, she caught him by his garment. She caught him by his garment. This means that she got aggressive here, friends. Let me say something to you here. There are temptations in every one of our lives. And when we think about temptation, naturally we think about immorality, sexual terms. But can I tell you that temptation comes in all packages? It's positive and negative. You can be tempted to get bitter against somebody. You can be tempted to have pride in your life. I'm just talking about temptation in general. Here's what I'm saying to you. It's very aggressive. There's something that you deal with is what I'm trying to say to you. There's something that before you know it, it's got a hold of your clothes and it's trying to pull you in. Anybody following what I'm trying to paint a picture here of, friends? Anybody know what tries to grab you by your coat and pull you in, suck you in? It just happened to be a woman in Joseph's life. It might be an attitude in my life. I don't know what it is, but I know this. I know solicitation of evil. Hey, it not only comes after success. It's not only very persistent and thrives in secret, but it can also be very aggressive. If it has to, it'll grab you. It'll try to force you to submit. This brings me to my second thought under this, just applying these thoughts to you tonight. Hey, I'm loading your plate down. I know that. I realize that. A lot of times I just like to put one big juicy steak on your plate, let you enjoy it. I'm not doing it tonight. I'm giving you four or five or six. Choose which one of them, whichever one the Lord wants you to eat tonight. Take it and eat on it. I'm loading your plate down here. I'm giving you a lot of information. I know that. I understand that. But I'm trusting somewhere along this message, God's going to help you with something. Let me give you a second thing under this about Joseph was solicited to evil. The pathway of temptation, we looked at it. Now let's look secondly at the pathway to victory. How did Joseph live in victory over this? By the way, the world would try to flatter this young man for this. This is Potiphar's wife. He's just a teenage runt, friends. And she, excuse me, wants him. The world says, have at it. But there's something different about this teenage young man. He did three things that I'm going to give you here that he did. And I trust that you'll put these in your everyday package. And when this solicitation to evil comes, whether it's in secret or public, whether it's in a time of victory or a time of defeat, whenever temptation is approaching you, soliciting you, enticing you, trying to grab your coat and pull you in, let me give you this three-point outline. Number one, first thing he did, he refused. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, but he refused. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Look at verse number 10. Came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Let me say this to you as well, friends. He's a young man and he's healthy. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Hit the world, the flesh, and the devil, no doubt was bombarding this young man's mind. I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it. I guarantee you one thing, it's more likely what I'm saying than something else because he is in flesh. And here's what I'm saying. It sounds so simple, it's ridiculous. Here's what I mean by he refused. He made up his mind. Every time she comes, my answer is no. That's so simple, it's ridiculous. But he made his mind up. Because see, he was stuck in that situation. He was bought. He was a slave. He had to work in that house. He couldn't get out. So he made his mind up. No. Just say no. He refused. Secondly, he recognized something. He not only refused, but he recognized something. Look at verse number 9. Now, it says, there's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now, he's talking about Potiphar in verses 8 and verse 9, saying how good her husband had been to him, and he's done this, and he's done this, and he's done this. And you'd think when he comes to the end of it that he would say, how then could I do this great wickedness and sin against him? But that's not what he said. He recognized something. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here's what I'm saying to you. In this verse, we see Joseph recognizing the fact that this was not a sin against Potiphar. And this was not a sin against Potiphar's wife. And this was not a sin even against him, even though we could say it was. He recognized a higher motive. He recognized something that gave him the strength to say no. His motive was not Potiphar. His motive was not Potiphar's wife. His motive was not even his purity. His motive was obedience to God. He recognized this. Here's what I'm saying. He did not refuse this temptation because of a fear of being caught, but because of a fear of God. He respected God too much for this. Sin is against God and dishonors him. One man put it this way, temptation will have a hard time defeating us if we insist on honoring God in all that we do. Did you hear that statement? Sin will have a hard temptation, will have a hard time defeating us if we insist on honoring God in all that we do. See, at the time that temptation comes, whatever it is, force yourself to see that if you give in to it, you are spitting in God's face. You are laughing and mocking the law of God. And you're saying no to God. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me. You say no to every temptation. In every temptation, you use the terminology no. You either say no to God, you say no to the temptation. I don't know about you, but I want to say no to the temptation and say yes to God 100% of the time. Choose to say no to the right thing. Recognize temptation is an attack against God. That's what it is. By the way, with this particular sin, I'm just applying this to all temptation, but with this particular temptation about having relations outside of the marriage wedlock, here's what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, when a person begins to despise the marriage vows, he's beginning to despise God. God's been too good to us, friends. Now listen, let me say this. We all give in a temptation. We are not perfect. We are sinners. But I'm going to say something to you. I am far from being perfect. I am so far from being perfect. But I want to try my best to be perfect. I'm not going to be. I'm going to trip up every now and then. But I'm going to tell you something. This young man, Joseph, is challenging my life already. A teenager is teaching me. Just say no. And let me tell you how I said no. I recognized this wasn't a sin against man. This would be a sin against God. Then number three, he refused, he recognized, and number three, he ran. He ran, friends. We see this in verse 12. Look at it. She called him by his garment saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand, fled, ran, got out of there, and got him out. In this verse, we see Joseph and this woman was in the house alone. She grabbed hold of his garment and aggressively pursued him. At this time, get this, friends, at this time, Joseph did not hesitate. He immediately ran away, leaving his garment in her hand. Now, can you imagine how he had to twist and turn to get out of that garment? He's wearing this garment, friends, this coat. He's wearing it. She got a hold of him, and somehow, some way, he's getting away from her. He's twisting out of there. He realized, I've got to get out of here. Here's what I'm saying. He may have given up his coat, but he kept his character, friends. And Joseph realized the danger he was in at that moment. He knew he could not stay around and contemplate a decision. Let me pray about this, Potiphar's wife. I know you got a hold on me. Hey, I know. Let me. Can you give me 2 or 3 minutes here to make a decision? No. He recognized this is against God. I have said no, and this woman refused to take no for an answer. Now she has me. I got to get out of here. Here's what I'm saying. I've got real men because Joseph was a man, but you can apply this, real men and women. They know when to run. What's the world tell you? If you run, you're a coward. If you run, you're afraid. If you run, hey, you're weak. You're a wimp. Be a man. Be a woman. Let me tell you something, friends. Ask any soldier that knows anything about what he's doing. He knows there are certain places you stay away from. Amen. He knows there are certain things you run from, friends. And I'm going to tell you something. It's no different in the Christian life. The Word of God tells us plainly in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. It says plainly in 1 Timothy 6:11, you can read the context later, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Get away from them. Run away. Here's the point. When you are solicited to evil, recognize it's against God. Refuse to say yes. And when it's time, get away from it as far as you possibly can. That's number two. Let me give you a third thing. Brought down to Egypt, Joseph was sold as a slave. Brought down to Egypt, Joseph was solicited to evil. Brought down to Egypt, number three, Joseph was slandered by Potiphar's wife. Now in verses 13 to 19, let's read this. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. After Joseph continuously refused to submit to her temptation, Potiphar's wife got mad. And she turned her attack on Joseph. She began to slander him and falsely accuse him of trying to force himself upon her. That's exactly what she tried to do to him. But she's slandering him. One person put it this way, Joseph's coat being used by Potiphar's wife to slander Joseph marked the second time a coat had been unjustly taken from Joseph in order to mislead others about him. Joseph's brothers took his coat of many colors and dipped it in blood to make his father think that he was dead. Now Potiphar's wife takes Joseph's coat and uses it to make others think that Joseph is immoral. The brothers used his coat to deceive others about his condition. Potiphar's wife used his coat to deceive others about his character. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to apply here. The point is we need to understand this, that when we live for God and when you refuse to participate in wickedness, you can expect some slanderous remarks. I'm telling you, who do we think we are to expect people never to lie about us? Who do we think we are? They lied about Jesus. They lied about Joseph. And they're still lying about God's people today. You need to understand that. I need to understand that. That, listen, living for God's not an easy road. It's a peaceful road. I love the peaceful road, don't you? The peace of God. But who in the world said living for God is easy? Living for God's easy, everybody'd be doing it. Amen, friends. It's not easy. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to be honest with you. The Word of God is honest. It rips back and shows us some things here. The Word of God is going to paint a true picture. It was not easy on Joseph to do the right thing. It was going to cost his character to some of those people. Cost him two coats so far. He's going to be lied about. And lo and behold, they're going to believe the lie. He was slandered there. By the way, one person put it this way, we need to examine the source of the accusations before we make a decision. Potiphar, I have a slight inclination. He knew a little bit about what kind of a woman he was married to. Some people even try to say, I'm not going to go this far to say this, but some people even try to say that because he didn't kill Joseph, he didn't really believe his accusation. I'm not going to say that as fact because we're not sure about that, but I know this, he believed the woman who was wicked and punished a man with whom God was blessing his family with. Slandered. Let me give you a fourth thing. Brought down to Egypt, Joseph was sold as a slave. Brought down to Egypt, Joseph was solicited to do evil. Brought down to Egypt, Joseph was slandered by Potiphar's wife. Finally, brought down to Egypt, Joseph was sent to prison unjustly. We see this in verses 20 and following. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. When Potiphar heard his wife's false story about Joseph, he got mad, the Bible said. And he took Joseph and put him in the prison. Now, this experience right here, don't turn to it for time's sake, but the book of Psalms sheds a little bit of light about his prison experience. Psalm 105 verse 17 puts it this way. Now listen to this. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. These verses tell us that when he was down in the prison, they put his feet in iron and they hurt his feet that way. It was a painful experience, in other words. Here's what I'm saying. Joseph paid a high price for his purity. One man put it this way, far better that he suffer in prison for purity's sake than that he lose his purity. Purity was more important than position with Joseph, you see. And when Joseph was put into the prison, the Lord went in there with him. One person put it this way, the presence of God does not depend upon the station of one's life. Rather, it depends upon the state of one's soul. Due to God's presence in his life, God made Joseph prosper as a prisoner. One person put it this way. He said, God's presence can make a prison a palace. Our problem today is that we're more concerned about keeping out of the prisons of men than we are about keeping in the presence of God. Steadfastness to the Lord often means suffering for the Lord. See, the world had turned their back on Joseph. His own brothers wished him dead. He has been falsely accused. He's been put in prison. And everybody's turned their back on him. Except one. And that one is God. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, folks, I'm in my conclusion right there. There's the word conclusion. I'm working on it. In this chapter, we see Joseph's position was lowered. And we see Joseph's possessions were lessened. But at the same time, we see his character was strengthened. All around this young man, it seemed as if life was getting worse and worse. He had been mistreated by his brothers, sold to the merchant men, brought down to Egypt, sold to Potiphar, solicited to evil, slandered by a woman, and cast into prison unjustly. One may be tempted to feel sorry for Joseph. However, we see that even though God never appeared to Joseph, he appeared to Jacob, he appeared to Abraham, he appeared to Isaac. It's never said he appeared to Joseph. But his presence was so real in Joseph's life. And what I'm saying to you is that even though he never appeared to Joseph, he was with him, blessing him, using him, helping him, protecting him. One person put it this way, though changed in condition, Joseph was not changed in spirit. Though stripped of the gaudy coat that had adorned his person, he had not lost the moral graces that distinguished his character. Though separated from his father on earth, he still lived in communion with his father in heaven. Though in the house of an idolater, he continued a worshiper of the true God. The major thought of this whole chapter, I know what you're thinking, you should have given this and shut your mouth a long time ago, but here's the major thought of this chapter, here it is. No matter what life throws at you, even if you are brought down to Egypt, even if you are lied about and unjustly punished, it is the presence of God and His blessing that makes all the difference. Let us get on our faces and beg God for His presence, His power, and His influence in our lives. Live above your circumstances and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is the message of Genesis chapter 39. Life may seem falling into shambles, but God can turn a prison into a peaceful palace. Let's beg Him for His presence. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your love and Your mercy. I pray that You challenge us with this Bible study from Genesis chapter 39. Change us where we need to be changed. Do business with us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you some questions and extend an invitation and we'll be done. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday? In a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Question number two. Are you in a trying time in your life? Are you in a time in your life where you feel brought down to Egypt? Wasn't your choice to go? You didn't choose to go there, but you felt, you just feel that you've just been placed in that place. You've been put there. I want to ask you these questions. While you're there, how's your character? Still maintaining your integrity? Let me ask you this question. Are you refusing, recognizing, and running from temptation? It's trying to take you down, trip you up. Don't give in. Or maybe God's dealing with you because just like it was obvious that God was with Joseph, you want it to be obvious that God is with you. Hey, if you want this for your own self, you're not going to have it. He will not manifest His glory in somebody's life who just wants to boast about their own life. You understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, look at what I'm doing. No. But if you're willing to give Him all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, and you're willing to refuse temptation, recognize what it is and run away from it, and be a man or woman of integrity and character and godliness, even when you find yourself in a place that's really not fair. I'm telling you what I'm challenged to do tonight. Is get on my face and say, God, please. Please help me to beg your power no matter what circumstance I have going on. If I'm living at home and my life is a bed of roses, or if I'm down in the valley and I cannot even get a next breath, help me to see the need for the presence and power of God. Do you understand this thought, friends? However God's using it, let's let Him use it. I think it'd be great for some teenagers, young men. Has God got your attention through this young man's life, Joseph? Wouldn't you like to be another Joseph teenager? You'd like to be another Joseph that the world sees God on you. Won't you come get on your face and beg God for His power, His strength. Help you be a young man or a young woman of integrity. I see around this auditorium tonight folks who mean business with God, seeking the power of God. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Challenge us from your word. Help us to see our need of you. Realize that the presence of God makes the difference no matter where we find ourselves in life. Get a hold of some teenagers. Get a hold of some older folks. Get a hold of some young couples. Do business with us thoroughly. In Jesus' name. They're playing through softly. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come to this altar? Because I want the power of God in my life. I want to be another Joseph. I want to be a young man or young woman, or fly to your age wherever you may be, and say, God, give me the strength to say no. Help me to be a man or a woman who lives a life of personal integrity, character, godliness. Help me to be somebody that it's evident to those around me that God is on me. And may your power be so evident on my life that you bless those who are around us and you make it clear. This is the thought. Our Father, we love you tonight and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for how your word speaks to our hearts. Help us not to forget these thoughts, but to meditate upon them. Make us, Lord, like Joseph. More appropriately, make us like Jesus. Give us your power and strength. We need you. Keep your hand upon us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been asked to remind the teenagers about the service project. So I hope you know what that means. Okay, the service project for all the teenagers. God bless you. Love you, folks. Be back on Sunday. Try to bring somebody with you. Take some of those Tom Farrell flyers with you. If you've